This is CliffCentral.com.
It's Friday, the something of July.
29th.
29th of July. Is that payday for you, Eric?
No, 31st.
Am I in?
Hey.
Eric Janssen's back.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, I'm back. Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
You know what you missed?
We spoke to Orlando Jones. He actually came into the studio and it touched us all.
Yeah,
and
but
gave
I
gave me special comedy
I,
powers.
I met. Okay,
and you missed out on that.
And I needed comedy powers.
So what was wrong with you? Just tell us about your disease. Is it contagious?
It was just my system that doesn't care about me anymore. So, yeah, I was dying technically. But I'm alive now. I'm cool.
Okay, good. Well, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Do you have any... Let's start the show. We got a couple of things we're going to be doing.
Okay.
Obviously, at the end of the show, we'll be doing the BBC. Do you know what that is?
The BBC, like that channel on DSD? No,
no, no. No.
Okay, which BBC?
Breakfast. Big Black Cock? No.
No.
What's your third guest?
Yeah. That's disgusting. I think it has to do with
medium
breakfast.
Medium-sized albino cock.
That's funny, but no.
Look, it's not a good way to start the show, but yeah. It's BBC's Breakfast Beer Club.
Ah, there we go.
Because what I've decided is we need sections in the show. People get bored listening to podcasts, and halfway through you say, coming up later, we've got Breakfast Beer Club. We will be tasting a craft beer, which we do towards the end of the show.
That's dope.
And then also we're going to be interviewing Rodriguez.
Rodriguez?
Yeah, the singer.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not. We've got Martin Evans.
He's just as close to Rodriguez as we're going to get, man. That's amazing.
That's if he wakes up, because he's in. Are you okay there? Please cough on the desk next time.
You weren't supposed to say I was coughing, man. Jeez, now people are going to be like, ew, this is a sick podcast. I don't want to listen to this.
And then we've got. That's my ear hole. Okay. We've got an interview with some comedians that are currently overseas.
Nice.
And you're going to give us a roundup of what's happening in the comedy world. So tell us how did you always, you know what's fine? We were chatting earlier, and I said, you said if I don't share the podcast, you don't listen to it. So I said, well, why don't you...
No.
Why
don't you
download
share
the app?
The podcast,
so listen. So you know in the beginning of the show, you always give like a little rattle. You
plug.
Go to CliffCentral.com.
Should I do that thing again?
No, but the thing is, you don't do that yourself.
Yeah, I don't.
And if you're not listening to your own podcast...
No, but I go from the website. I share from the website. But then like sometimes I don't go to the website because I'm lazy. I'm a terrible
But there is the app. You can share from the app. Do you know that?
Yeah, I know that.
I like that podcast. I'd like to share it with my friends.
Now I know.
Tell us how to do this.
Cool. So what you do is you go onto cliffcentral.com or alternatively download the app from the App Store. It's free of charge. And then you can listen to this podcast and the podcast after this and the podcast after. Actually, you can listen to all the podcasts on there. This is the Gas Comedy Podcast. If you are looking for gigs and stuff, you can go to the Gas Comedy website. That's gascomedy.com. And check all the gigs. Isolate the gigs for Joburg.
So gascomedy.com.
And yeah.
It's not .co.za.
I'm pretty sure it's .com. Okay, so .co.za, actually. Thank you for that, Dave. Yeah.
I've never listened to your spiel before the show. I always think you've got it down. Like locked. But now that I took a listen to it, I'm like, jeez, Eric Janssen's talking the biggest load of crap.
Let me just make sure, because I feel like...
Because I typed in guestcomedy.co.za.
And... There's the gig listing. You see, it doesn't come up. It doesn't even load. It is guestcomedy.co.za. Thank you.
No, it's fine. It is nice. It's nice to have you back.
Yeah,
just to teach you how this whole thing works.
Ah.
Because I think you're one of those oaks that goes on holiday, like in standard 7, or whatever it is, grade 19, and then after like a 1 week break in October, you know that little break?
Oh, yeah, that's
then
more,
comes
yeah.
back to school and has no idea what's going on.
Like, guys,
what is this thing for? That's a protractor.
Man, when
what
we,
does it do?
When are we starting with maths?
So I think what maybe the nice thing for today is that you catch up.
No, I'm yeah.
On the guest comedy.
I think I'll just listen. I think that'll be my job today, is to just listen.
All right, good. That's why you're here, actually, because you are the voice and the ears. So I've got someone to talk to. And then
yes.
What I also like about your vibe is that you're a beginning comedian. You haven't been jaded yet. You're not like us old toppy comedians.
No, no.
Who hate the industry. We hate all the comedians. If someone's doing successful stuff, we hate them. If someone dies on stage, we clap.
Nice.
So
that's
you,
fun.
As a young comedian, you still got that love, that hope that everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, I do.
All right, that's good.
Yeah.
So what has happened? Did you go to the roast of Casper de Vries?
No, I was at the Goliath. No, wait, that was Wednesday. No, Wednesday was at home.
Okay, now take your time.
I was sick.
So you're basically a useless comedian. Have you done any shows?
Useless. Chameleon ever. Yeah, I did Monday and Tuesday.
What did you do Monday?
Monday I did Poppy's, the restaurant.
Poppy's is where? That's in Melville.
In Melville, yeah.
Okay, how many people were there?
There were about 7 people in the audience. The rest were comedians. But it was nice. I mean, it's a small room, so...
See, that's what I spoke about. His love of the-ness of comedy. He's like, hey, there were 7 people there and mostly comedians. And I'm like, that's flipping awesome that you still... That you believe in that. For me, I'm like, there's 7 people here. I'll be outside. I'm going to go smoke dacha with a car guard.
No, we did that after the show.
Right, no, but like, so it will change. I'm telling you now, will change.
No, I mean, like,
Tuesday.
Like, it started out slow, but then, like, eventually there were, like, 20, 30 people in the room with
that's
us.
That's fine. That's something you spoke about this after when we spoke about what we're going to talk about on the show.
Yeah.
And you said, why doesn't South Africa have a comedy school? And we're going to talk about that today.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to try and get hold of these flipping comedians that don't answer their phones. Yeah. Rob Van Vuren was going to join us, sure. But he is actually the director of the Comics Choice Awards night
on
the
3rd
of September. So he's
nice.
He's directing it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, well.
But he's directing it. And then I need to say hello to Ricky, who's listening to my podcast.
Hi, Ricky.
And then...
Dope. Yeah, so Tuesday night I did Kitcheners in Braamfontein, and that was...
Now, Kitcheners is becoming a great little breeding ground of what?
A beautiful spot.
Where exactly is it?
Falls up. It's on the corner of Juta and De Beer Street in Braamfontein, Kitcheners.
Is it safe? Is there parking for us?
Yeah. They've got like 12 car guards on that corner. It's really, really safe.
The car guards there are actually so rich that they have their own cars.
They just park
from parking their cars.
I watch this one because it's mine. So
that's exactly.
That's
when you know it's a rich area, when the car guards gets out of his car and looks after yours. That is when you know you've got a really good deal. Can someone also, if there is anyone listening to this podcast, can they bring us a bottle opener before BBC?
Yeah, please.
Okay, and then the second thing we're going to be talking about was Comedy 101.
Yes.
So let's talk about the school that you spoke about.
Well, from what I've heard, I don't know if it's 100% true. I haven't done all the research yet, but there's a school of comedy in the States. Am I correct, Dave? Yes? No?
Is there a school of comedy in the States? There must
not
be
necessarily a
look,
school,
the thing is,
but
I think in the States they would have plenty.
Yeah.
Because they do believe in nurturing talent. So
right.
You get a 6-year-old kid who can play the drums, can sing and everything. The parents bring them up like that so that they... Whose
they
friends are?
They hone their talent. It's yours. Well done, Dave Levinson.
So, the thing with the school of comedy, and do you think there should be one here?
Yes and no.
Okay, why yes?
Yes, because, like you said, it's good to nurture talent. So if you do have the
ability... So would it not be rather that we take a drama school that exists already, like the drama school at the waterfront in Cape Town?
Do that.
The art school, in Braamfontein there's one in Rosebank.
Yeah.
So if there are art schools, why don't we as comedians come up with a curriculum and say, are there any students here that want to do stand-up comedy?
Yeah.
Because it's not strictly stand-up. Yeah. It's also public speaking.
That's what it is.
Because I went to this thing called Toastmasters the other day to go and see what it was like. And I was out of my comfort zone completely. Because there were people trying to learn the art of speaking in public.
Oh,
and I was going... But I just get up there and talk shit.
That's nice.
And they were like, how do you do that? That's a magical quality. And I said, no, how do you do what you do? Because you've written down a thing and you're actually telling people real stuff. Whereas me, I really am talking shit.
Yeah.
Last night I did a gig for 49 Jewish men. So I'm like, I took on 49 Jewish men last night in an outdoor garden area, charity gig.
That's
so it was
nice.
Almost like our little CEO sleeper, because I think all of them work for Investec or something. Don't all Jews work for Investec?
Oh, that's funny.
Did it go?
Yeah. You have by far the shittest car ever. So Dave's panel beat is, yeah.
So my I have a little Volkswagen 1974, which is, you have some respect there. It's older than your mom.
First of all, we couldn't get in the car.
Okay, right.
So I had to call another guy who had to pull the door up while I turned the key.
Oh, is it?
And then
I know all the tricks, you see. That car's like having an old ex-girlfriend.
Wait, let him
When you
let
meet
him
your ex-girlfriend
finish.
Again, you know exactly where the spots
this
were. So to explain now, to move someone's car,
then
101.
We couldn't even start the car.
Okay.
I noticed
give you, the
you
right
have like
key.
Two gears. It's basically a quad bike with like a... So what we did was you just put the handbrake down and we just rolled it to another parking.
That's funny.
I'm going to teach people how to drive 1974 classic motor vehicles. I've got another car if you want to fuck up some more of my motor vehicles.
What is it, a go-kart?
You're going to be skateboard.
That's beautiful.
It's Gino Fernandez's skateboard.
That's funny. That's hilarious. Right, so
have I just got roasted now?
Roasted just got roasted on your vehicle. So you went to Toastmasters, and these people don't know how to speak in public.
No, they do. What they do is they teach executives, and they teach people come there to learn. And but the things they've got like rungs, and they've got a structure. And I don't like that.
Don't you find it annoying? Like as a like you've been doing comedy forever.
So no, whenever, come on. Listen, 15 years, let me
just go with forever. Cool. You've been doing comedy for these 15 years, right? So don't you feel that it's weird when you're listening to somebody do a speech? Like let's say you go to a wedding.
Or that's why I said I was out of my comfort zone. When I saw someone doing a speech, I was going, where are you going with this?
Where's the funny?
Not where's the funny, but are you setting up a story? They work on a system. You've got to have a beginning, a middle, an ending, a structure. And the night that I went there, we were talking about how do you bring humor into a thing. So these got these CEOs sitting there. Now, they've got to be very careful because we're on the radio show here. We don't have ICASA rules and those kinds of things, so we can do anything.
Yeah.
But we're still going to get bust if we're racist or sexist or something.
Yes.
They've got to be even more careful because they're the mouthpiece of the company.
Yes.
And they're learning how to speak to their own staff. And I'm sitting there going, it's easy to make them laugh. And they were going, no, it's not. Easy for you. You've been doing it.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I listened to it and they asked me if I want to come back. And I said yes, but I'm not going back.
That's beautiful. That's like the when the Jehovah's Witnesses come and they're like, do you have a minute to talk about
come
Jesus?
Back.
But not now. You can see me next week.
Yeah, I'm into Jesus. I'm into Jesus, forever. But like just as a friend. Nothing hectic. I like Jesus. He loves me. It's awkward. Yeah. I saw a T-shirt like that one.
Wow. Yeah, I'm going to help.
Am I allowed to play my own comedy as the comedy clip? And then
if you
introduce
want to,
it as something else.
Go for it.
Okay, we're just waiting for Rodriguez to phone us back.
Okay. Yeah, cool. So yeah, like that's why I believe like comedy should be. But like you said, if it becomes a curriculum at like a drama school or something, that would be dope.
But I don't agree with that because the whole idea of comedy is that you have an audience.
No, but like
because your comedy is different. I bet you it's different when you have 3 people in the audience than it is when you have 500. Your whole energy is different.
Yeah.
So now you want to do. When I first started comedy, we had something called the Cape Comedy Collective. It was run by Mark Sampson and his wife.
Right.
They did what they called a workshop. On every Thursday, they'd get 5 or 6 comedians in the room, and then they had wannabe comedians who would come there. And they would go through their jokes. They had come, bring your stuff, and they had a broomstick with a microphone taped to it and on a stand. So that, and they just got people basic mic techniques. That was the first thing. And then I said, well, why don't you get a live mic? So actually people can see the difference between coming forward and going back. And last night we did a gig outside. Ah, you know why he's here? We have a guest today because last night we did a gig and he paid me 200 rand short. So I basically said, get your fat ass into the studio at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That's funny.
Nadeem Solomons has joined us. Nadeem, you actually joined us at a good time.
When I
first started comedy, we had something called the Cape Comedy Collective and we used to do workshops in Woodstock. In Cape Town, we used to do, and young comics would come there and learn how to do comedy. And we sort of, I ended up not digging it because you can't learn comedy. I think you can learn some jokes. But your funny bones, and we know who those kids are. I'll go to a classroom of kids now, and I'll find out who the comedian is. See, a 5-year-old kid, you'll know it's that guy that shines when people are looking at him doing something silly.
Yes.
I hate to say this, but my kids got it, and it's horrible because I don't want him to be a comedian. I want him to be a doctor or a lawyer or something
or
cool.
Something cool, yeah.
But he's got, as soon as he notices that he's done something funny and someone's watching, he's in his
zone.
He gets
a kick out of it.
And we know that from being class clown. Yes. We know we got Nadeem. Class clown, when you grew up in the Malay Quarter in Brixton?
Yeah.
Where did you go?
Aldo's. I grew up in Aldo's.
Properly. we bonded last night. It was actually very...
Yeah, it was great.
I would love to... I'm going to do that more. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take a microphone and Duncan's going to give me one. Mm-hmm. Around that fire there, mm-hmm. it was myself, Al Prodgers, Vittorio, and then David...
Stopforth.
And we chatted around. We had a gig for some Jewish people in a garden.
In a garden.
And who knew that in amongst the gnomes, mm-hmm. there were Jews as well. There were a gnome and a larper, and then every now and then you could spot a Jew. So it was almost like Pokemon Go, but for Jews.
Absolutely.
And I saw them sitting there, and they all had their little hoodies on and things. But that's actually a good. That's another thing we talked about. That was for a good cause.
It was.
You guys paid a large amount of money to watch us talk shit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that was in the garden there. We spoke around this little bri eating, and the stuff we were talking about was very industry related.
Yeah.
Which we do when we're together. Yeah. But it also ended up being quite funny.
It was. Yeah.
And found out about you.
Thank you.
That and your history.
Yes.
And also find out that you pay comedians short. You sometimes
I do,
you say, I'm giving you this much money, then you give them less. And I thought, but you're giving Indians a very good name.
Well, it was a an Indian doing a gig for Jews, what do you expect?
There's a lot of shortcomings. But that just sounds like
I've got a Jewish surname, but I had to come clean last night and tell them, guys, I'm not part of the club. Hey, I don't do this stuff.
Wow.
And then I did make a joke about the fact that it's at night before Shabbos. Mm. So, and then on Shabbat, you're not allowed to have any electrical appliances at all.
Yeah.
So your wife can't even use her electric toothbrush.
Absolutely.
You can't smoke those electric cigarettes. What's on your side? He just whipped out his wallet. Yeah. Just make that, make a noise again. Just take out your wallet. Just this is Nadim Solomon's wallet.
Gee whiz.
How hectic is that? And
it's secure. Shame. That's what it is.
As you know, Dave, I have a Muslim name and a Jewish surname.
Yes.
I am Muslim. But don't panic. I had the cavity search as I came in this morning. It was quite nice.
You know, to say that you have a cavity search at cliffcentral.com, we're the show before the sex show, just waving it at the people there. John T.
And them,
John T's on his phone, probably just trolling some sex site.
I've seen.
Nadim Solomon says he got strip searched at the entrance here.
Cavity search, not because
he's Muslim, but because you insisted.
Yeah.
And we're trying to tell him you don't even work here.
But the security guard was quite nice. He blew on his hands.
Okay.
Because it is pretty cold. And then you blew on his cock.
Quite pleasant, yeah.
Nice. Real nice.
Yeah. All right. Where's my music bit? I love that music. That was lovely. So, Eric, you...
Right.
As far as I know, you were a believer in a comedy school.
I said yes
so let's
and
take,
no.
Let's
I said yes
take,
and
no.
No,
but that, yes you can't. You got to take a stand.
No, but I can.
Like,
I
sound
can.
Like Donald Trump.
Wow, no.
Do you want to build a wall? Well, yes
and
no.
Yeah, but no.
Well...
No, but you see, it has its perks and it has its cons.
You know, for so young comics, and I was a young comic. That's the thing. We had just started. It was 1999, and I'm sitting at a workshop there. So there goes a guy, and he tries his stuff. And then there was a lot of female comics because Sam Pierce believed in getting female comics into comedy. So
yeah.
A lot of people that are doing comedy now, Sarah Huntsman, Tracy Klaus, they were there doing the... They all tried this stuff and tried this stuff. And I got kind of frustrated. I said, but last week that joke didn't work. Mm. You're still punting now because you've got your own agenda. Get it, make that joke funny. So I ended up helping all these comedians with their stuff. And then I realized I'm good at helping other comedians. And then I thought, no.
Where am I
I'm giving away so much stuff.
Gold. This is gold,
Nadim Solomon, do you want to be involved in breakfast beer tasting? I'm just asking from a religious standpoint.
Not today.
It's
Friday.
Yes. Okay. But, so I'm just saying, if we do breakfast
but
beer
if it's
tasting,
non-alcoholic beer, it's cool.
It is. It's completely non-alcoholic.
So absolutely.
We always have a non-alcoholic version for Muslim people or for Jem Atkins was not a drinker. Mm-hmm. So we gave him a non-alcoholic beer and he drank that thing down like it was a soup of some kind.
You know, I worked for SA Breweries for a long time.
How in what capacity?
I was a computer operator.
Nice.
That was a title.
You know what I love about your voice? It does sound like we're on radio today.
It does. It feels like I'm sitting next
and
to John
Nadim,
Robbie.
Tell us what it was like and in the 80s with a computer. Would you?
Well, the computer would fill this entire building. You know,
does SAB need a computer to run that stuff and work on?
Absolutely. Yeah. Really? It's not about the making of the beer.
It's the marketing of it.
It's
and the delivery.
The distribution.
That's what it is.
Yes.
I heard that SAB and those guys, when it was during the World Cup, they had trucks parked on corners and they then said to their trucks, okay, we're not allowed to sell SAB because it was the Netster, it was Budweiser.
Yeah.
But they said, you know what we will do? We'll deliver it for you.
Yeah.
So they still made money.
Absolutely.
Even though it's the same as the Pepsi guys when it was the World Cup. You can't have Coca-Cola, it's got to be Pepsi.
Yeah.
So the Coca-Cola guys said, okay, we've got the bottling and we've got the stuff. So they said, we'll kind of bottle the stuff for you. They still ran the business.
Absolutely.
What did ABI, whatever it is.
Well,
see, Eric, we're learning.
SAB Miller is now, I worked for them, they were a little tiny company in a small country.
And how, do they employ Muslim people? Is it a well-known thing?
They never asked me about my religion. You know?
did they not see your cock at the urinal and say, hey, are you Jewish?
It's a dope.
Nadim?
Yeah. I guess they employed... don't ask, don't tell policy.
That's nice.
Eric's laughing, but he doesn't understand how serious that was in the army.
No,
you weren't allowed to tell people you're gay, but then you're showering with some guy, and he's like more interested in your rifle than cleaning his equipment.
Then unloading his equipment.
Yeah.
Wow.
So now we'll move. We're going to do Comedy 101. So I'm going to play this clip because what I believe in Comedy 101 is a part of the show. It's a learning curve for people who don't know comedy.
Go.
And I won't even go yet. I'll tell you who we're going to play. So I go back to my first comedians. that I listened to. Who inspired you? Because as a younger person, you'd be talking about John Christmas or Barry Hilton. I'm talking about like old before Peter then. Cook and Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
absolutely. I grew up on Biltong and Potroast.
The TV show.
The TV show, yeah.
How old are you now? You're in your 40s?
I'm 52.
You're kidding me. Wow. You look so good.
Thank you very much.
I did
much
say you look like a Muslim Papa Smurf, though.
Yeah.
Because you had the beanie on last night.
I did. Thank you.
Were Smurfs being translated into
Islam?
Into Islam?
It always was Islam. Didn't you know that?
Smurfs?
Papa Smurf, I mean, you know, only one woman.
I'm getting it now. You know?
That's why they're all blue.
They're blue. So Biltong and Potroast. So last night you quoted Cyril Green, and then you spoke about. Who else was there? Cyril Green and
Mel Miller, Len Davis.
And you know, Mel was telling me that show. Mm. They got into the studio.
Yeah.
All the guys were professional enough to say, "What do we need to do?" Mm. They provided the content. They filmed the show.
Absolutely.
They went home.
Yeah. No.
It was incredible to have it in 1976 and 77 to be filming a live show.
Absolutely. And what a lot of people don't know, a lot of the blue material, which wouldn't air on SABC, is somewhere floating around in the archives. That's absolutely
I dare you to
funny.
Go to the SABC and try and get it.
I have tried.
Do you know that I went there once because I wanted to find a program called Blitz, not Blitz Patrol. There was a squad cars.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that was me. I grew up in radio comedy.
They roam the empty streets at night.
They prowl the empty streets at night in parked cars. This was a radio play, but they would take real stories and they would make them into.
Yes.
I went to the SABC and I said, "Hi, I'm doing a documentary on old TV shows and from Springbok Radio. Have you got squad cars?"
Mm.
And they said yes. And they gave me the tapes.
Yeah.
They gave them to me. I have the squad cars tapes.
Wonderful.
That's
but I have no idea what to do with them. Because they really, when you listen to them again, it is the darkest stuff you ever heard.
You're sitting on a gold mine of material there, Dave.
Of squad cars.
Absolutely.
I'm actually going to go back and get Tracy Dark as well. Yeah. And Men from the Ministry.
Men from the Ministry.
Okay. So now what Comedy
Consider
101
your
is,
verdict.
I've taken this and I've said, if I can...
I'm just sitting here going, this sounds
radio,
like it could be...
Essentially what we're doing here is trying to educate people about comedy.
Yeah.
And I go back to the first person that comes to me after show and says, I didn't know, and this happens every time, I didn't know that South Africa had this.
Okay.
They didn't know. So I said, so what do you listen to? And they rattle off about six or seven comedians. Mm. I said, well, if you like that, then listen to this. So you giving them a little reference, the same as music, if you like... Pink Floyd, maybe you want to listen to this.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to play this. I have no idea what he's going to say. This man is an inspiration to me in terms of the storytelling.
Okay.
So maybe not listen to the comedy, but listen from my perspective. When I was 11 years old, my uncle put earphones on me like this and put Richard Pryor on the record player.
Oh, that's... Crazy white man. He in the trees with Cheetah. So where Jane? She horned in Nairobi.
Because when you go out in the bush, you see animals... I mean, animals that are free look different than that shit we see in the zoo. You know them animals you fuck over at the zoo? Because you see the lion at the zoo, he be talking about. Right, you walk by, hey, lion. Hey. I like the monkeys in the zoo because they throw their shit on me. You know, they be picking and shit. And they watch you and they go. And then everybody laugh, go, oh, he's so cute. Oh, the monkey's cute. Why do people think bears are happy in the zoo? Like, look at the bear, he's so happy. Motherfuckers talking about, let me out.
Just give me a break. Can you get one of, if I could get a hand on one of you motherfuckers. Whoa, I'll tell you where. Stop. I ain't had no pussy in the place. Yes. Send me a motherfucking panda. Bitch ain't even got a pussy yet. He's wondering why we ain't got no babies.
But in the jungle, if you see a rabbit, you get nervous. Because the rabbit be looking at you and I'm like,
roll the window up, dear.
It's just a rabbit. Fuck you.
Ain't no rabbit ever looked at me like that.
And you see a lion in the jungle, that's what they look like, lions. Motherfucker be in the bush, dummy. Yeah, get your ass out the car. And bring that camera with you.
Because we're going to eat all that shit.
I saw three lions chase down like a Cape buffalo. That's the baddest motherfucker on four legs. Except for these bitches chasing it. And the lioness, they work around like in teams, give signals, you know they can't talk. And the buffalo saw one of them, right? And he tipped away from the rest of the herd. What was it? And them two others jumped on his ass. And the other buffalo said, hey, motherfucker didn't warn us, fuck him. And you know how the buzzards circle in the movies? These motherfuckers drove up in a truck. Talking about what it is.
Back to Paul Tibb. Let's get that stuff going in the bottom there. Now,
yeah,
I've sent Eric off to go and get us a bottle opener. Because now we're getting more interesting. And then are we allowed to talk about your family history?
Is that important? Certainly. Absolutely.
Because you mentioned something. We spoke about cultures and where we come from.
Yeah.
Because last night was very important for me.
Okay.
I hadn't done that kind of comedy for a while.
Okay. Right.
So I wanted to just say to people, here's where I'm from. And I don't know where I'm from. As a white South African, it's very difficult to say, I am from this place and I'm African. Okay. Because you've got this history. My parents are Norwegian.
Mm-hmm.
You sound like a therapist.
Grandparents, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Easy. All right. We've got grandparents from my mother's side, Norwegian. Mm-hmm. And then you've got, on the other side, Lithuanian.
Okay.
So that's where I'm from.
Right.
And it's not easy to figure out how African that is. So last night you spoke about your Malay roots. Mm-hmm. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I'm my mother was Malay, my father was Indian, and I was conceived out of wedlock and given up for adoption. So I was adopted by essentially a Malay man and a colored woman who married and lived here and raised me very well. I mean, I'm very proud to say I had a wonderful, very loving.
Did you ever meet your parents?
Yes, I met my mum, yeah.
So that's,
she's still alive.
See, with comedians, you don't know. You don't know. You got these, he's happy, he's just this happy guy.
Absolutely.
Meantime, you've had like some stuff.
Please.
Do you think that helps build your comedy zing?
I think my comedy comes from confusion, you know, because when I grew up, I wanted to be a doctor in Elders.
You want to be a doctor?
I wanted to be a doctor, yeah. But my mum insisted. My mum insisted that I join a nice gang.
So that was like you do what your father and his father before that done in Elders.
Exactly,
and like if you can't find a nice gang, your own gang.
You start your own gang.
Okay, cool. All right. Now we'll open
so,
it
so I had a very wonderful childhood. I went to many schools, colored schools, Indian schools.
Were you a bad
Malay
kid?
Schools.
I figure that. You talk about comedy schools.
Yes.
Let's go back to that.
Yeah.
Your comedy school is that class. Were you a class clown or was it like considered?
I was the class clown, yes.
Okay, what is that like in Elders? Is that a punishable offense?
No, it's you become popular. You know, you get accepted. You
reputation,
don't get bullied. Yeah. You one of the
cool
kids.
So it's a little protection mechanism?
It is.
When did you find out that you were an adopted child? Your parents were open with you?
No, not at all. I only found out when I was about 18.
Sure. So is that a little bit of a therapy vibe? Is that why you go, when I speak to you? Have you noticed when you talk to Nadim, he goes,
I did study how much psychology.
How much therapy? Let's go there.
Yeah.
How many comedians do you know that have had like major stress in their lives?
Oh, all of them.
But I'm talking, let's talk drug issues, let's talk sexual addiction, let's talk whatever it is.
Yeah, I know a lot. I also had a comedy school as such. I started comedy at the age of 46.
See, now that's interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Because somewhere along the line, you had a real job.
Yeah.
You were making money, you've got family and kids and wives and children.
Absolutely, yeah. I was head of the SARS Academy.
Wow.
Come forward.
Come forward and say
Just for the record, I owe SARS 90,000 rand. What can I do?
I have a recipe for that. You got to know somebody.
What do I do? Are you the guy to speak to?
No, not anymore.
Oh, so I can't go to Sod and say, hey, I spoke to this comedian friend of mine and he gave me this advice. Take these two fingers and stick them up your ass.
So I ran the SARS Academy. I started it, set it up, got it going.
And you're not talking, this isn't nothing to do with your comedy school that you started.
No, then the comedy bug bit. I went to Cool Runnings, did a set.
And you spoke about SARS.
No, I didn't speak about SARS at all. I wasn't allowed to at that time.
What is it like? It's like a rule. You're not allowed to talk about SARS.
Like
not,
Fight
yeah,
Club.
It's not like Fight Club. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yet, you know what? You know where real comedy lies is when you talk about the truth. Last night you spoke about your dentist.
Yes, Dr. Buskin.
Dr. Buskin, who's Jewish, his secretary said, please phone Mr. Solomon. He's coming to the cricket with me.
Yes.
So you're
I arrived.
And you know what I felt in your voice?
Yeah.
You knew where the punchline was coming.
Thank you. Okay.
You knew when it was, and you didn't have any fear that it wasn't funny.
No.
Because, and you also, you're not going to tell that story again because that last night was at a thing.
That was specifically for
and
that
the,
crowd.
What is the, just tell us the how it works.
Well, basically, Dr. Unless Buskin is a Jewish dentist, right? He was my dentist in 2003. And we had the Cricket World Cup here. So I get this phone call from Samantha, his PA, or receptionist, or dental assistant, whatever you call it. And she phones me and says, Dr. Buskin would like to invite you to the cricket on Wednesday. Can you make it, Mr.
But now
Solomon?
How many times have you been to the dentist?
About four or five times.
And you feel that after four dates, he's going to invite you to a
World Cup cricket match, Australia versus Pakistan.
Did you ever meet the real Mr. Solomon?
No.
Because he's sitting there watching on TV and going, what did I do wrong? Exactly. This is a good friend of mine.
Absolutely.
Are you getting this, Eric?
Yeah. And it's wrong a true story. The funny thing is, it is a true story. So I'm waiting on the designated corner in Rosebank where he's going to pick me up, and he drives up in his big Merc. And I 2003, that was what, 13 years ago?
We don't do maths on the show.
Exactly.
Just by the way. Because a lot of our people who listen to this also just don't give a fuck about maths. Like, thanks.
And I could see, as he drove up behind the wheel, the look on his face just said, that bitch phoned the wrong Mr. Solomon. You
know? I think that's how he speaks to his secretary. You know what?
No, he's a complete gentleman, but in his mind, I'm sure that's why.
You just got the Eric Janssen clap.
Your inner swear words came out. Like, really? Did you phone this, Mr. Solomon?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
So that was the story I told last night, and the crowd there appreciated it because it was all Jewish gentlemen.
You had taken a situation and you made it funny. Yeah. So did you need a school for that? Or did you find that? Well, how many years now? If you're doing comedy, and all of a sudden those things are starting to come naturally.
I've been doing comedy now for about 5 years, and I think only after I haven't done comedy in a year or so, and only now do I get into my space where I feel I can go up and have a conversation with people, and connect with people, and I can be funny. If they don't find it funny, it doesn't stress me. Much like you, Dave, I've learned a lot from you.
I'm just looking for a song on my WhatsApp here.
Yeah.
It's not there. Okay. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I can't find it, so we'll leave it. We don't need it.
Mm. But I did start what I thought was a comedy school.
Okay, where?
In my house.
Did you
and
charge
we invited,
people?
Yeah, no, I didn't charge people, but what I wanted
okay,
to
but
do...
Okay, now these schools in America, they're charging people.
They're
saying,
they are.
Learn the art of stand-up comedy.
Absolutely.
Comedy it will help you in your job. It will help you in the way you learn stand-up comedy from my side is going to a club and saying, can I do 3 minutes?
Absolutely. No, that was part of it. But what I did was, I was a member of Toastmasters.
You see, we spoke about that just before you arrived.
Oh,
now, the way you speak, you have got a Toastmasters cadence in your speech.
Thank you.
Because I'm interested, because you speak slowly and you speak clearly.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm listening.
Right.
Yes.
No, and I picked a few people who I thought could do stand-up comedy because
out
they
of
were naturally funny. Okay. Yes. And I also invited people who wanted to do stand-up comedy who may not have been naturally funny. But you're right. You've got to have the funny bone to learn to do comedy.
And when you picked out the funny bones, you said to them, this guy, when he says a word,
and
he makes it funnier than someone else.
Absolutely.
When we were doing writing on a show,
yeah,
we go through the words and say, is this word in the right place? Is banana funnier than guava?
Absolutely.
And if you're going to say the words, the banana won't be funny if you say at the beginning, it's funny at the end. That's very technical comedy.
Yeah. It is.
But there's some guys who have the natural way of just saying a word.
They just do. Yeah. They just do. Somebody will say a line and it'll be funny, and somebody will say the same line with a slight emphasis. It's like Chinese.
Sorry? Pardon? Oh, I see. And Chinese words, there's a thousand words, but it's the way you say it.
The way you say it.
If you go, you can say, a lot of Chinese people are laughing now. Some are offended by what I just said.
There you go.
That's accurate. I believe.
And comedy, you spoke to me last night. You were a little bit worried. You're like, no one's booking me for gigs. No one's funny me. So I thought, well, come on the podcast and be funny. And then I didn't realize that you were, first of all, I didn't realize how old you are.
Thank you very much.
I didn't know that you're adopted. And then it caused stress as an 18-year-old.
As an 18-year-old,
identity is so important.
Yeah, it did.
You went
stress,
through,
yeah.
But then again, you had loving parents.
I did. I had.
So there was no lack. You weren't like adopted and then left in a basket like Moses.
Absolutely, because I never make jokes about my adoptive parents.
I wouldn't say you must, but I would say you should speak about the fact that I'm an adopted child.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you?
Not really.
Because Eric was put up for adoption, but no one wanted him.
No. My parents are like, might as well.
Even his parents, he busted in the other night online, putting his details up. It's like LinkedIn, but for adoption. And they put all his stuff on there, and they're getting no hits.
No hits.
And every time Eric comes in, I'm like, hi, Eric. Mm. And then he sits there and has supper with them, and they're like, damn, this lawyer. Do you live with your parents?
Of course I do, man.
Yeah, not for long, buddy, because I'm actually going to adopt you.
Really?
Yeah, I sent Eric to go fetch a bottle opener. He comes back. He goes like, he makes that sign with it when you put your finger across your neck like this.
Yeah.
And like for a color dog to do that, I'm like, what have I done wrong? I sent you to fetch a bottle opener. Now you're giving me the I'll kill you sign.
I just said that I don't have
got
one.
Enough. So open that with, I'll use the top of that one to open that one. Okay.
Well,
I'll teach you the way.
My adoptive parents have both passed
on. Have got a bottle opener.
No, they've both passed on. And now I'm...
So now you can make jokes about it.
Now I'm hoping the Guptas will adopt me.
Everyone is hoping that. You know what I find strange about that? In business, if I ran a business and someone offered me collateral or some capital and said, hey, I'd like to help you with your business, I wouldn't say no, because it's fair is fair. They are investing in your business. As a non-entity, I don't know who they are. Here's a cup. If I'm up for my beer, if someone gave me 100,000 rand tomorrow, I could do more labels, I could get more tanks or something. Mm. I don't bother asking where they're from because I'm going to give them their 10% return.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird how we're busting this president dude for going, I'd like some money. If he used the money for fixing potholes, we would go, okay,
yes,
cool.
Sure.
But
absolutely.
It wasn't. It was to give his own buddies the contracts to do the thing. So the stuff got made in the factories that were done, but it was by his friends.
Yeah. It's a trickle-down effect.
It's not a trickle-down effect.
But with a major funnel, you know, major narrowing of the funnel. What do you call it?
That's
blockage.
Fine.
At some point in the funnel.
Okay, cool. We're going to go back to Eric Jansen now.
Yes.
Okay. The Comics Choice Awards coming up. There was a roast the other night. How do you feel about roasts as a young comic? Because there's these roast battles now. Have you been to one?
I haven't been to one because I work on Thursdays.
Where do you work on Thursdays? On your mom's nerves.
Goliath Comedy Club.
What do you do there?
I'm the guy that does the time controlling and the wall of lights. If you come to the Goliath Comedy Club, you'll understand what it means.
You know what I like? I said something about earlier. Yeah. As a young comic, you like, Eric, we like your comedy, but we feel that you can control the lights so much better than the other comics. And you're there. You're like, yeah, I'll do it. And that's why I actually respect you for that, because so many other comics with a little bit of attitude going, no, I'm not doing the fucking lights. But you know what it is? You're at the comedy club.
Yeah.
You're in the environment that you want to be in. It's the same as if a guy wants to be a Porsche mechanic, don't go work somewhere else. Go and work in the Volkswagen factory and learn how these things work and work your way out. And you also get to see all the comics.
That's true, yeah.
Do you find the Goliath Comedy Club, as with the corporate audiences, get a little bit loud?
No.
They get a little bit drunk.
Yeah.
Because they come in at about 4, and the company's paying for all their dope.
Yeah,
but so by the time I got on at 8, they are And do you find it's normally the chicks? Because that was a chick voice you did there now.
Yeah.
Why do women get drunk and then they feel they can talk to the comedian one-on-one while he's on stage?
I don't know, man.
Hey, I was at I was at Monte Cassino
that
last
really?
Time.
Tell and they go,
oh, I went there once also. I also went there. And like, lady, it's fine. And we understand you into the show. She's not heckling you.
Yeah, she's just giving
input.
She
just wants to tell you, I bought a dress. And it was not, I didn't fit. I took it back.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was expensive.
That's a random nothing.
Okay, little lady.
And yeah, do you, so how's the club? Who's on
well,
this
they've
weekend?
Well, they've had a couple of, what you, okay. This weekend, Sami Arif, Kidibone Malahudzi, Loiso Madenga.
How do you just rattle them off? It's fantastic.
And Mal Muller, because I looked at the lineup, like I have that photographic image of the box office with a poster.
Farhan, Kediboni,
Yeah.
He's also a great organizer of comedy.
Yeah, he does the Tswane Comedy Nights.
I think he would be a candidate for starting a school.
Well, they're doing their own awards. I don't know how far it's
going. Well, you know what the thing is? I'm totally not into comedy awards. Not against them. I believe they are cool for an industry, but look at other industries. The Oscars, it's, if you speak to the insiders, it's also just a big it's a driven wank. You know what, my award, it's a well driven wank, because you can't, you have to enter into the Academy for your movie. Leonardo DiCaprio didn't win Oscars because he didn't schmooze the Academy, so this year he goes on the road shows, goes to them, talks to them, takes them out for lunch, does the things you're supposed to do, and wins an Oscar for pumping the bear on the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see the movie The Revenant. Did
I haven't
see
seen it either. I just heard about it.
You know what's cool? Asking you if you've done or seen something is a fucking waste of time. Because if you're not invited to do the lights, then you don't even arrive.
Yeah, then I'm just like, sure.
If you want Eric Johnson to perform at your corporate event, get some lights.
Control for the lights. Yeah, tell him to switch the lights on and off. Then I'm there.
You should go get a job at Eskom.
I'm there. Okay, no, but I just haven't seen it because I was lazy and stuff. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks.
That's fine. And then other things in Cape Town, there's the Jive Comedy. They call it the Funny Festival.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why weren't you invited to that? You fit the Cape Town vibe.
I have no idea. I haven't put myself out there, Dave, to be honest.
Talk into the mic. You can't be that relaxed. I know that you have a Toastmasters background, but we need you to speak into the
It's my first time.
Is this your first time in a radio studio environment?
Absolutely, yes.
You're kidding me.
No, it is.
Can I say you're doing very well?
Thank you so
Except
much.
Except for the
okay.
I want to try and make you stop saying
okay.
All right. It's a habit of mine.
That was
a habit of yours.
That was
a habit of yours.
But nice. It's a nice habit though, because it shows that you're interested.
It does.
Thank you.
You could have said
Okay, well, what we've got here, and this has nothing to do with comedy. Why we do breakfast beer tasting, and I'll tell you, is that beer has got all the nutrients you need to be healthy. And especially craft beer, it's got no preservatives. It helps you with your kidneys. It's got antioxidants in, so that your blood gets oxygen, which is bad, and then sometimes gets oxygen, which is good. You don't want it to toxi-oxy.
That's
something to do with toxic blood and oxygen and bad things that are attached to your blood. So you want antioxidants, which take away that oxidization. I've obviously had a few already.
Yeah.
And what we're trying today is this. This is a guy called Mitchell who was their first guy to discover that, hang on, I can make my own beer.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he's still, I don't know if he's still alive. Is he alive? Is he from Knysna?
I don't know. Yeah.
And the reason why I chose this is because it actually says milk and honey ale.
Wonderful.
So not only does it have the goodness of beer, but it has milk and honey in it.
Are you going to put it on your cornflakes?
Oh, if I had cornflakes,
you
would
have done
it. I would do that. We invite you, if you're listening to the podcast, it's round about now, just before we finish, we have 10 minutes left, is to actually crack a beer. Obviously, you can listen to this podcast whenever you want to, but for those that are listening live, this is now BBC Breakfast Beer Club. So cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for the non-alcoholic.
Nadeem's got a non-alcoholic one. Yeah. And then, Eric, can you taste yours and just tell me what you're tasting? Do you drink, by the way, Eric?
Okay, yes. You guys heard that.
Did swallow. So it's also interesting that we do this because when we first started comedy, the clubs would say, we'll give you a meal and you can have a drinks tab.
Yeah.
So now you think, like, I'm there with Riyad Musa and Conrad Koch. So his puppet fucking drank all the stuff. And
Chester.
Chester drank. No, he didn't have Chester. Oh, he had a little, like a green... Like this ugly little thing.
That guy, yeah. No, yeah, Tommy, yeah. Tommy, I think his name is, yeah.
No, it was orange. I don't know what it was.
It was green with orange.
Donald Trump?
Why do people phone you? Why do people phone you while you're at your podcast? I have no idea. We'll talk to them later. Okay. And then they would give us a beer thing. And then often some of the comedians would finish that beer tab very quickly. And then there'd be nothing left for you afterwards because you'd get like 100 rand, whatever it was. So beer became a very important trading. What would it be? It's the dope system.
Yes, it is.
What's the team laughing at? You know, the dope system is still in operation and it's possibly illegal. Mm. Is it illegal to give someone alcohol for reaping a whole field of grapes?
Well, when I work,
do you reap a field of grapes? Harvest, I think, is the word.
I think that's what it is.
When I worked
for
breweries,
what a radio show! I don't know who this is, so I'm not even wanting to talk to you.
Wow, that's our answer for dope.
When I worked for breweries, we'd get ONG allocation.
ONG,
it was called. Yeah, it's something Gracia, some Latin
Gracia
word, to make it sound fancy. Wonderful. But you would get 2 cases of beer every month.
Look, if I had a company that is possibly you working there,
absolutely,
try our product. And if you don't drink it, have it, Brian, drink it.
Yeah.
Brand is very important. There's a friend of mine worked at Pernod Ricard. I won't say who the company was, but it was Pernod Ricard. Mm. And he saw on Facebook, the boss saw his staff having a drinks evening.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw what you guys are drinking. Every other brand,
except
not opposition. Remember, Pernod Ricard don't make beer, so they do Absolut Vodka, whatever it is, and Chivas Regal. He said, and I noticed at your bar you were drinking Savannah or whatever.
Mm.
He said, you work for us. Mm. If you have a bar, you offer people at your bar our brands.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, yeah, but the guys, he said, I don't care. You want to work here or not?
Mm.
Like, whoo.
Mm.
That's. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be like that with Dave Brew, because I don't have any staff. And you know, someone said, can I taste your beer? I'm like, no, I drank it all.
You shout yourself when you get home. Damn it, stop drinking Castle Light at gigs.
This
take
is
your
nice
own beer. I told you it's nice.
It doesn't have that porridgey taste. It's got a very light.
Very light.
After,
nice.
It's I don't even know what's in here.
I feel
milk
like
and honey.
Cereal. Yeah.
Milk and honey amber ale is a slightly darker, robust ale.
Hey.
Robust, that's, what does that mean?
Robust.
It's like if it was gay, it would have a beard and a checkered jacket.
There you go. Yeah.
So it's the bear. It's the bear of beers. A touch of lactose.
Okay, that's milk.
Which is not milk. Lactose.
Lactose in milk.
So it's got actual milk in it.
Composition of milk,
hello. Yeah. All right, good. And a drop of honey. So there is a little bit of honey. There is actual milk and honey in this beer.
I told you.
So tell me that Breakfast Beer Club isn't the smartest idea I've had all day. Okay. Are you going to
similar to Bill Cosby's chocolate cake for breakfast?
Listen,
and
when
you
talk about
a bit
Bill Cosby at this thing, if Bill Cosby offers you chocolate cake, you're like, all right, I'll just give that to the dog.
If Bill Cosby offers you anything,
but talk about Comedy 101 with Richard Pryor. Did you enjoy that clip?
That was nice. The part that
what did you learn?
What did I learn? Storytelling is awesome. If you
did you notice how he became the animal he was talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He literally, when he was the lion, he crouched lower.
He crouched.
When he was the buffalo, he was bigger.
When he did the bear, his neck was
now,
out.
Must you go to comedy school to learn that?
No. I think the thing there is, if you don't have a natural ability to adapt yourself to a situation. So
did
if you're talking about something and giving.
SAB?
And giving. Yeah. If, you if you're not able to adapt shape yourself to what you're trying to talk about, it's not going to be as funny as something that you could hear.
Yes. Yeah. Damn. And I wasn't listening. This beer is so good.
Yeah, and then I must just say that
you don't have to must just say. Just say it.
Say it.
Particular style of comedy.
Yes.
Mine.
Anybody's.
No,
any comedian. Some people like a certain style of comedy. Some people don't.
Yes.
And if you stress about trying to adapt your style
onto the exact reason why we do the show.
Exactly.
First law of Gas Comedy Podcast is don't try and please everybody.
Yeah.
And I would say that is a law of life.
That's true.
Because there's so many times when a comedian is worried about one person not digging their comedy.
Yeah.
When the other, like if it at Millie's or whatever it's called, Billy's, what's that place called?
Poppies.
So there's seven people there and one person doesn't like your comedy. Do you know how many comedians concentrate on that person?
Nah.
Yes. Why don't you like me?
There's six other people
are digging it. That person doesn't like you. They never will.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, the Richard Pryor thing, what I wanted you to see there was how he becomes these
he becomes
the
animal. Yeah,
and
then
you mentioned something interesting when we were chatting about what have South Africans, what has the world had for 10,001
days?
What is it?
Do you know what it is?
No. Come on, take a guess. 10,001 days, how long ago is that, Mr. Mathematician Scientist?
That's about 4 years.
No,
no.
10,000
days. 10,000
days.
Okay. Then that will be 30 years.
So if you were born in 88-ish, then you are 10,000 days old.
Yeah.
That's quite true. So what have we had
since
then?
What have we had for 10,001 days today?
Oh.
Wild guess. Anything.
Internet.
The internet.
It's 10,000 days old. That was on 5FM, so we don't even have our own source of...
I thought the internet was actually older than that.
In order to make this podcast work, I have to listen to other radio. I call it research.
Yeah.
Well, I was in the car. But what's interesting is, last night when Al Prodgers was talking about as old people, like you have a kid going, Dad, what did you do before the internet? Dad, what did you do before? Was it you?
Yes.
See, that's why I don't like media. But you spoke about that, asking questions like that.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. We were so bored, we invented the internet, my boy.
Exactly.
And I was talking to Al, that's why you were on, and I was saying to him, like, paranoia on drugs can actually be the spark of every single app that you... You tell me an app, and I'll tell you it's a paranoiac drug-based thing.
Google's Airbnb.
Airbnb, fully drug-based. Yeah. I'm going to pass out on this person's couch.
Yeah.
Yo, why don't we charge this bastard?
Yeah.
That is a total drug-related thing, and it's completely 60s acid-related, Airbnb. Mm. Uber. Two guys standing outside there. Why are all these taxis ignoring us?
Yeah.
So it's total ego-based.
Yes.
No one loves me. So you're coming down off of some kind of drug. Then they're like, no, we can phone a taxi with our phones. We can track a guy, and if he's got a phone, we can see where he is. It's like total... You know when you're sitting with someone who has taken a little bit too much?
Yeah.
When they don't, you know, puff, puff, pass. They keep.
They puff, puff,
Then they come up with these ideas, and you look at them and say, that is a crazy idea that'll never work. And he's just discovered Google. Because he's like, guys, I don't know the answer to this, but I can phone a friend of mine.
I'm going to phone 50
And he's
people.
Got this network of drug addicts that can tell you what's... And then you're like, that's Google. But this is... We're talking 1950s.
Yeah, that's right. But that's why these days kids are not having conversations, because they can't bullshit, because somebody will Google them and show them up.
That's right. So we as kids, we could say, what did you do on Christmas holiday? Yeah. Oh, we went to Antarctica with my uncle.
We went skinny dipping.
We went with my uncle. Eric Johnson went skinny dipping with
my
uncle.
I was going to say skiing.
Do you want to talk about that? I mean, we spoke about adoption. Do you want to talk about skinny dipping with your uncle?
Never skinny dipped with my uncle. I've never skinny dipped, actually.
Haven't you?
No.
Is that because you're albino?
Yeah, I'm scared.
And you'll scare the other people.
Yeah, I'm scared. I'll scare people and then light up the water and stuff. It's weird. It's a really weird business. No, but
I want to have it's Women's Day for one of our next ones, which is on the 9th of August. And have you got a daughter?
I do.
Is she is she cool? Young, old?
She's 27 years old.
Can she come to the studio with him? We want to talk about... She's going to talk about what it's like to have you as a dad.
Absolutely.
And we're going to do a pop quiz as well. Have you got a daughter, Eric?
No. That would be strange.
Do you want to bring your uncle
and
with you?
She'd be four if I did. Huh?
Do you want to bring your uncle?
No, he's got a job, I think.
What, as a skinny dip instructor?
Professional skinny dipper.
But I want to do that for... I want to bring Al Prodgers, his two daughters in here. Okay. So it's not like I'm having a full-on women's day thing, but I do want that... I want to know that these girls have got futures, if it's not in comedy, whatever, and have an experience like that. And we'll find out from other comedians if they've got... And we're going to have a women's day. We won't have... Obviously, when they're here, we won't have breakfast, beer tasting. We'll do cornflakes or brain or
Rice Krispies.
Eric, do you want to say to people where they can see you? Are you going to the Comics Choice Awards?
Yes, 3rd of September. I'm going
there. Have you registered?
No, I have never registered for.
But
Comics
you'll go
Choice
to it. You like the evening?
I love the evening. It's a great evening out. You meet all your old buddies that you started out with,
and they've got real jobs, and you're still stuck doing gigs for Jewish people in the garden.
That's fun.
So we finish up the show, and we want to thank you for listening. Please share this podcast with people if you think there was anything of any relevance in your life. Yes. If there wasn't, fuck you.
So that's beautiful.
Go catch some Pokemons.
Pokemon Go, yes. Don't get hit by cars and stuff. And share locations. Tell us
Pokemon
where
Go when we were kids. Really, it was called Find Your Parents.
I didn't go
Wow, Dave. I thought you were going to do
this. Thanks. This is the Guest Comedy Podcast. Great. Cheers from Eric Johnson.
Cheers.
I'm Dave Levinson.
Cheers. Keep laughing.
Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.